Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. If you enjoy this episode, feel free to subscribe, give it 5 stars, and tell a friend. And if you don't, do all those things anyway. On today's show, we are joined by Coach Aaron Stamm of Ludlow and Coach Scott True of Franklin County. They have over 50 years of coaching experience between the two of them, and it's hard to find two nicer guys in the business. Today's show will hopefully get your coaching brain thinking as we delve into areas that are rarely hit on during clinics, coach talks, or podcasts. Hope you enjoy. Today, we will be joined by coaches Aaron Stamm and Scott True. Coach Stamm has coached for 24 years, with 16 of those being a head coach at both Ludlow and Connor High School. And Coach True has been coaching for 27 years, and 18 of those being a head coach at GRC and Lexington Catholic. Both of these guys aren't just great coaches, they're great men with an awesome outlook on coaching as well. Coach Stamm, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thanks, Coach, for having me on.
Yeah, no doubt. We've had a lot of great and fun coaching battles through the years, and it's always the conversation at the coaches' meetings was always even better. But we'll kind of keep that out of the show. It may not be age appropriate. Coach True, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate having the opportunity to be here.
So, guys, you know, with this episode, I wanted to do something really unique. You know, typically we pick a big, broad subject, whether it be a certain type of offense or defense or philosophy, and we kind of hit on those things. But you can kind of get that everywhere. So rather than hit on like those topics, I wanted to discuss some unique things maybe that come up in game situations or in seasons that just don't come up every day, but they're worth discussing and definitely have in your back pocket. And we're going to get into those kind of outside the box ideas. But first, let's just briefly touch on tackling tough parents. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this because we get to spend a bunch of time on it when we don't want to. But I always do like picking everybody's brain on this because it is a huge part of what we do. So, Coach Stamm, let's start with you on this one. What do you think is the biggest mistake high school coaches make in regards to parents, and what advice would you give them who are listening?
I think, thinking about this question, I would have to say coaches make the mistake of sometimes telling parents what they want to hear and not being completely honest. And I think we probably all made a mistake here and there over the years. I know I have probably, of telling a parent maybe what they want to hear and not the truth. And I would say for a young coach coming in, they have to, might not always be the most popular thing that a parent hears, but I think the parent deep down will respect you as a coach more down the line. Might not respect you right there when you're talking to them, but down the line more when you're honest. I guess I'm different than I was 5-6 years ago, because now I got kids that are in high school, and sometimes it's nice to hear the truth. It might hurt a little bit at first, but it's nice to hear the truth, and I think that goes a long way. If you're honest with the parent, I think it goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds simple, but I think when you're in the position, you find it can be difficult to have those tough conversations. But you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're going to have a tough conversation with a certain parent, and you can do yourself some favor by having a tough one that's more on your terms early on. So I think that's really good, Coach True. Follow up with that. What about you? What do you think is the biggest mistake coaches make?
Well, I think that honesty, I agree with both of you, is huge, but I also think just don't avoid the parents. You know, I've worked with coaches who, you know, on the boy side or maybe on another girl's coach, who would come in a different door or do something, you know, just to avoid even any contact with the parents. And I just think that furthers, you know, any animosity that's there. So, you know, I would give you the advice, you know, if they're there working a concession stand or they're doing something, go and speak. And even if it's not pleasant and you don't really want to do it, go and speak and talk to them and greet them and be social with them, even though that's a little difficult. I think avoiding them just, you know, furthers things along and causes, you know, more issues. And one of the best advice I think I was ever given, and sometimes it causes you trouble anyway, is if you can give them only X's and O's to complain about, you're probably doing pretty well. And that's something I've tried to live by and keep that knowledge. And again, just go and speak and be sociable. and maybe they see you in a different context other than just coach as well.
I think that's really good. You know, being willing to be, you know, friendly without necessarily being their friend, I think is huge. And, you know, you talk about, you know, avoiding parents or, you know, I used to check my back seat before I got in my car when I left one of my former jobs. So I think that's a little different than what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's just one of those things where if they see you and they find out you're avoiding them and they see that, or they just perceive that, that's when you do have that honest conversation. It's going to make that conversation much more difficult.
That's good. Let's leave it there. As far as the parents thing, I think that's a lot of good quick hitters of advice. Let's shift gears and go all over the place. You know, I want to hit on some things that don't come up in the typical clinic or podcast, but are valuable ideas and thoughts and insights that can help. You know, I'll just throw a quick one out there. You know, the worst advice I ever received. All the time people give you the best advice they hear. But I can remember the worst advice I ever received. I had a Hall of Fame coach tell me, never let them see you sweat and never let them see you cry. And she was giving me that advice. And what that did is it validated me being a psycho, basically, and was kind of like the green light. Like, hey, yeah, you know, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how hard you are, just keep driving home and just kind of basically be that stoic, never show emotion coach. And I think what that coach missed out on, and for a few years of my career, what I missed out on was building relationships, genuine relationships that were built on trust and love. And it was more leading out of fear. And one thing Mike Nabors said that sticks with me all the time is leverage is the lowest form of leadership. And I think about that a lot, like using my position as my leverage, you know, telling kids you're going to do this because I said so. You know, at the end of the day, we know that's the truth, but that's kind of the easy way out. That's the lowest form of leadership and the easiest way to do it rather than to try to bring them along with you. So we'll kind of bounce around all over the place and throw some of these out here. But Coach True, give us a thing or two here that comes to mind in regard to a unique part of the game.
Well, I think the relationship is such a part of it now, and there's such an opportunity with social media and whatnot and all the different things that we all know about. And some of those things can be negative, but to use those and use those in a positive manner, and to be the correct influence on young people's lives. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be their friend all the time. You have to be honest with them, but it also means that you can have that relationship and that connection that will be appreciated, as you well know, 10, 15 years after the fact, you know. And I think about one of my former players who I ran into probably, I guess, 2 years ago. She came to one of the games I was coaching, and she's there with her kids. And we talk about those things that we did and those – We didn't really talk about, you know, how many points she scored or games. We talked about that relationship that we had and the things she went through off the court just made her the great young lady that she is today. And I just think those things are really, really vital, not only for long-term success, but short-term success as well.
I think that's great. You know, somebody told me once that, you know, every kid, we should look at kids that every one of them, they're doing the best with what they know. And, you know, we take for granted that the upbringing we had or the upbringing, you know, or the experiences we had or what they've had. But, you know, typically, for the most part, I think kids are doing the best with what they know. And then it's our job to kind of teach them from there, set that standard, you know, and then if they can't reach that, you know, that's when you have issues. But I think that's really good. Coach Stam, what do you got?
I think the one thing I've learned is the one thing I've been around is kind of going off of what you said earlier, advice that was given to me way back when I first started coaching was something that was said back in the 80s, you know, inmates don't run the asylum, and, you know, if it's my way or the highway, or, you know, little lines that you hear from the old time coaches that it's really changed. Is I have a lot of different, you know, opinions about that. Our kids are very able to walk in our office, and we're able to talk about stuff other than basketball. We're, you know, it's a players. We've tried to develop it more of like a players program instead of those kind of words. And you used to hear those kind of sayings a lot with football coaches and older basketball coaches and things like that. And I think one one of the things I've learned, and maybe it was the leaving Ludlow the first time and going to Connor and coaching out there as long as I did, is you got to let the players be able to sit down in that office with you and talk and share ideas about the team, about what we are about, philosophies, things that they would rather see, things that you have to be open to let your kids talk a little bit. And so I think that's one thing I've actually learned a lot about. Is maybe when I first started coaching, it was more the it was going to be my way and it was going to go and that's how it was going to be. And I think over time it's changed to more of a team aspect, and the players run the run the program, and you're there to coach, obviously, and you're there to still be the leader that you need to be. But I also think you're allowing them to grow up and make some decisions as well.
Sure. I think Frank Martin put it so awesome. He got sick of hearing all these adults and parents say kids nowadays. And, he said, kids don't know nothing about nothing. And I think about that a lot. That's true. They know exactly what we've taught them. So, we see, I think, and this is probably I'm sure it happens with every generation. They look back and they look at the younger generation coming after them and have, opinions and thoughts. And most of them probably not all that positive, but I do think there is a lot more kind of reciprocity of trying to understand each other's generation. Tim Elmore writes a couple books, the IY Generation, and just came out with a Z Generation book, and they're awesome. If coaches are interested in trying to understand young folks today, I highly recommend going to check him out, because it's awesome. There's a lot of reasons that kids are the way they are, and there's a lot of beauty in that too, and we need to see that. But I could go on for days about this stuff. This is what I'm probably the most passionate about, more than anything, because it really saved my career, honestly. I went, from in it to the wrong reasons to kind of doing a complete 180, and I attribute all that stuff to that. So let's kind of flip and maybe look at a little like basketball stuff. I'll throw one out there, and then Coach True, you can just follow up. Something to consider is, late in the game when your team has a lead. Okay. So like if we have a 3+ point lead and you're out of timeouts, we've got a call to not inbound the ball. So, if they're out of timeouts and you're up by 4, and there's like 10 seconds left, well, you get 4 seconds before it's a violation to inbound the ball. Well, if we can take about 6 seconds acting real stupid, like we don't know how to set up our press break, by the time the referee actually hands us the ball, the game's over. And so, we'll work on this in practice, and, we just call it dumb. We just say, hey, dumb, and our kids know, like, one kid is supposed to go and grab the ball. She walks like she's going to take it out. Then she goes, no, so-and-so, Sally, you come get it. You take it out. And by the time we've done all this, and then the referee hands us the ball, we never have to inbound it. So it's one thing to consider, and we definitely, we'll let them drive in and shoot a layup. We just don't want to foul. And we know the game is absolutely over. So we did it at Highlands 1 year. It's something we work on, and it comes up a bunch, and the other coach don't like it too much, but it does kind of help you get a big tight one late. Coach True, do you have any kind of, more kind of things out there?
Well, and very similar to you. I mean, we did that in the postseason just a couple of years ago. We were actually out of a timeout and realized if they score, there's not going to be enough time. They have no timeouts left. And we talk about that very thing. Those things come up all the time. I think one of the things that I always remember, I had a player, and we had talked about it in practice and goofed off with it a little bit, just kind of goofing around one day. We got in the game, and the ball was out of bounds underneath, and it was late in the game, about a minute to go, and it's a 2 or 3 point game. We were up, and the referee handed her the ball, and she starts looking at the bench going, I'm not supposed to inbound it. She acts like she's handing it back to him. She starts calling, Susie, you come take it out. And the girl starts walking to her, and the other team just stopped. I mean, the referee's counting. She throws the ball in through, she picks it up and lays it in. And I was kind of amazed that, it came about that way. But we had kind of done that in practice the other day, that distraction thing we've all seen. I think those things are, sometimes you're right. Other coaches don't like that. Coach really didn't like that fact. But I think those are things you have to work on. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think if we hadn't have had that timeout, I think we would have tried to inbound the ball, you know, up only at one point with 2 seconds to go and could have gotten in trouble. But I think those things are important, but also think they're fun to work on if you use them the right way.
Yeah, and kids, I mean, they love it. You know, they get really excited about those things, and it is a game. Coach Stan, what do you got?
I'll switch over because Wyatt, I've probably seen you do that before, and I'd rather not talk about it that way. But I'll switch over on the defensive side. We actually work, and we've actually got it this year 4 or 5 times while I was at Ludlow, taking charges down by 1 or 2 points late in the game. Offense is inbounding the ball, running the baseline, and we will slide a kid down and take an offensive foul. You don't know how many times the referees sometimes don't know what to call because it's a mad collision underneath the basket. But we got the ball back 3 times, once in the district final, because we slid down there. You know, the girl ran the baseline. We slid right underneath the basket, took a charge. And no, it's not, but it is something you have to practice. It's something, and that's why I included it, because it's something you have to practice, and you have to have somebody, A, that's willing to take a charge that hard, because they're moving pretty good at that point. Mm-hmm. And you know, so you just have to be able to take one. So it's a different way. It's not always called, but when it works, it's pretty nice to that play.
So will you, and I guess it's if you're coming out of a timeout, will you say something to the official?
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of like, hey, you know, if we take a charge, is it going to be called, you know, or do you just let it play out?
Well, it's funny thing you say that, because the first couple times I wasn't saying it to anybody because I was afraid. But then I was told by a coach much smarter than me this past season that you should say something to the official to let them know that something's getting ready to happen here, just to get them looking. And so moving forward, I probably will do that. But it only did it once this year in the district final. I did say, hey, there's getting ready to be a collision underneath the goal here. Just kind of kidding around, joking, and you know, he didn't make the call. But I mean, it, you know, again, you have, like I said, the biggest thing for us is, and I don't know, you probably don't have this problem, Coach, but finding somebody that will get hit and take that charge was a chore. So you got to have somebody that'll do that. And I think you got to have somebody that'll practice the getting down there and getting set. But late in the game, it does help. Somebody's pressing you pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. And we actually, I the first time, I know it got real famous on ESPN a few years back. Somebody did it in a big game and of course, got the call. But I had actually, Nancy Winstall, I had sat down with to eat with her a couple times, and she kind of mentioned that to me. And so we have it as an audible out of our press break. So we've got whatever press break in our pocket, and we've got a call if we know that they're going to be, you know, if we see they're on ball, you know, if we see right. They're on ball, we have a call. And then, you know, just one really important detail that someone told me was, you know, make sure, you know, the guy who's inbounding the ball has the ball way up high and is kind of looking up high as they run the first direction before they bring him back, because it takes their eyes up there and they lose their peripheral, so they never see that person sliding in behind them. But I think, I mean, that's just, it's huge. I mean, if they're willing to put somebody on the ball late and there's, you know, I mean, if you've got 5 or 6 seconds, you can obviously go get a, you know, a playoff. But, you know, if you're desperate, that's a good time to you know, try to get that one. But I think that's awesome. You know, I think another thing that someone mentioned to me, you know, is – if you're trying to get the ball in late, and you know what happens is the hardest time to get the ball in is late. And you know, it's just, it gets, you know, it's crunch time when you're trying to get it in late. And you know, when teams have fouls to give late, well, they see your sideline get it in play after about 1 or 2 fouls. And so, you know, we have actually practiced and looked at running one of our baseline out of bounds plays just from the side. And, you know, somebody mentioned that, and, you know, it made a lot of sense. And it's a way, you know, it's one less thing you have to have in your repertoire as long as you kind of run it, so the kids don't have to remember 100 things. So, you know, it's you could do it baseline out of bounds if you had to get it in, But, you know, your own kid is liable to, you know, your own kid is liable to put it in the basket. So I don't know about doing it on my own baseline, but I would definitely be willing to try it on the side. So just another thing to think about, you know, Coach Stam, anything else as far as, you know, as far as that piece goes? I think we might have lost you for a second, Coach Stam. Okay, one more thing while we're trying to get everybody back connected. You know, one more thing is I think officials, they're humans and they will kind of you know, they're human and they will play along. You know, I think that's the benefit of going ahead and telling them, hey guys, you know, we're about to try to take a charge underneath. Just heads up. You know, something else is late in games. If I'm out of timeouts, okay. If I'm out of timeouts, one thing we always practice and we talk about is smacking the ball when it goes through the net to stop the clock. You know, it's a kind of a way to counter those people not wanting to inbound the ball. But that's just something to think about and to work on. And I will tell officials that as well. Hey, coming out of this, we're gonna, you know, and I'll ask them, you know, hey, does it stop the clock or is it a delay of game if we hit the ball? And they'll inevitably, you know, say yeah. And okay, well, then you better call it. So, Coach True, do you have? All right, we lost coaches, but we are back. So let's pick up where we left off, Coach True. Did you have any more? Kind of, you know, in-game wrinkles or things to consider for coaches out there that don't typically come up?
Well, one of the things that I did several years ago, and it's because the kids are a lot of times smarter than we want to be critical, and they're smarter than me. And we were going over, we're scouting a lot with the team, had a lot of sets, you know, hundreds of sets, and we were going over those, and one of my seniors said, why don't we just, you know, every time they call a play, why don't we yell it back at them? And I don't know if you guys want to do that, it'd kind of be fun. And honestly, I thought, you know, it's fun, but, you know, it'll never work. And we get in the game, and first trip down the floor, they called a play that we've been over a lot. We yelled it back at them. They turned it over. And it really worked on them mentally the rest of the game. They called a play. We yelled it back. Even if we'd never seen the thing before. But they were convinced we'd seen it before. And it was one of the things that really allowed us to pull a big upset that night. And it was, you know, direct credit, as you guys said earlier, listen to your players. That was their idea, their thing, and it worked. And it's something that we've used a time or two since then, and I really think it's fun, but it also it gives you maybe a little of a mental advantage if nothing else.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And if you're going against, you know, I mean, all coaches are going to be, you know, trying to do their service to their kids, but we've kind of done the flip. Well, we've done something similar where we would put our hands behind our back. And, you know, the kid who was ever at the top, whoever was picking up the point guard, she was obviously picking up right about half court line, and she'd put her hands behind her back and she would just do a one, a two, cross her hands, a closed fist. And she would just do all kinds of goofy stuff with her hands. And, you know, the other coach admittedly down the road said, you know, we spent, you know, three quarters trying to figure out what y'all were doing. And, you know, it was nothing. And, you know, maybe just to get their coach distracted or something, but I think those you know mental games work too. Coach True, do you have a good funny story you'd like to share?
Probably the night I'll always remember. We were in the Berea tournament actually years ago, and we had, it was supposed to be a 9:30 tip, didn't tip off till 10 o'clock. We're in the middle of the third quarter, and we're down 10 points, and we're not playing well. Couldn't throw it in the ocean. We're shooting like 20% from the floor, and the game was about to get away from us, and all of a sudden, all the lights went out, and when I mean the lights, I mean all the lights went out. I'm screaming at my kids, trying to get them to stop, because they're going to run into each other, and that sort of thing. Every light in the building was out. The transformer for that part of Maria had gone out, and we sat there for, you know, a long time, and I went over and called my wife, told her what's happening. I'll never forget it, because she looks down her phone and she knows we're supposed to be in the game. It's one of the games she didn't go to. And her first words to me were, did you get thrown out? Did you stop your plan? And I'm like, no, the lights went out. And so we sat there for like an hour. And they eventually decided, well, we can either play under the emergency lights, which won't really much, and we can use the computer to keep score and do the clock, or we can play tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. before you have to play later in the afternoon. Well, nobody wanted to do that. So we actually finished the game under the emergency lights.
And it was really odd because we played under emergency lights. We couldn't really see. We shot 62% for the rest of the game, came back and won. And it was just one of those nights where, and we finished at like 12:45 in the morning, with a great wind. But, you know, with the lights, we shoot 20% without, and then with no lights, we shoot 62%. I told them, I said, we're just going to turn the lights out every day in the gym and play that way and see the weak teams come in and play. It'll be a home court advantage for us, but it worked well that night.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah. I'd say I'd have a nice talk with my AD about, a permanent light switch, but, I just think back one time I was trying to explain our fast break. We try to talk through things with our kids, and I'm trying to explain them, you know, our fast break and the progression reads. And, they kept jumping the primary break. So, you know, I was trying to say, all right, guys, before we get into the secondary break, what should we be looking for? And one of my seniors really proudly shouted out, first dairy? And like, oh no, primary, honey, but good try. So we renamed it our first dairy break. But Coach Sam, do you have one for us?
Well, I don't have it. It's not really funny, especially with Coach Moore, who's been on your show before. She might not find this funny at all, actually. Might actually get mad. But playing down at the Gamboa East tournament, of course, and we've all probably played in that once or twice, and it's a great tournament. And played in that Gamboa East tournament, again, both teams won the first game, and it was last year, I guess. Yeah, it was my last year at Connor. They were pretty good. We were pretty good. We got pushed into that auxiliary gym for the second game. If you've ever been down to Bullet East, their auxiliary gym holds about five rows, something like that, and you're smashed together. I mean, it's like practicing in an old elementary gym where there's no bleachers on the one side, and two teams that are pretty good, and it's kind of crazy, and it's hot, and down to the stretch, we went on a last second shot, and I look over at Donna after the game, and I mean, you could tell she was very annoyed at A, we're in that gym playing that game, and B, the game came down to a last second shot. So it wasn't a funny thing, it was a memorable thing more than anything else. It was a game that, you know, not often does Northern Kentucky team get a chance to beat Sacred Heart, obviously, or anybody beat Sacred Heart for that matter. So the way we won it on a desperation last shot, and then just to see Donna's face after the game was it did not seem to have. And it was a great tournament down there. That was probably a memorable event. But just playing that game in that gym, and you can tell that it was a packed house and with all 200 people that fit in the gym. And it was one of those things that you look back on. So there's certain games you look back on that would be one of them. So.
I'll have to take your word for it on what it looks like when you beat her, because I've not been able to do it. So
only once.
let's get into our final portion of this. I'm gonna throw a full court press on you guys. Okay, you're gonna have 10 seconds or less to answer each question. Coach Drew, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Does high school need a shot clock?
Yes.
Do you think we play basketball this winter?
Not before January.
Favorite high school gym to coach in?
That'd be Mason County Fieldhouse.
Who do you hate coaching against the most?
I have to say one of my former assistants, Mike Murray, when he was the head coach and I was head coach, because he beat me every time he played.
And what's the best hidden food gym in Lexington?
Well, I'm going to throw you a loop for this one. I'm going to go outside of Lexington because it's new and not many people know about it. But in Berea, there's a new little barbecue place called Hitch Barbecue, and it is off the charts.
All right, that's good. That's what we're looking for in this. All right, Coach Dam, you ready?
Ready.
Does high school need a shot clock?
No.
Do you think we play basketball this winter?
Yes, but he's right. It might not be till January.
Favorite high school gym to coach in?
Ludlow. That's why I came back.
Good answer. Who do you hate coaching against the most?
Wyatt Faust.
Oh, that's a lie. Where's the best hidden food joint in Northern Kentucky?
I got to say this right, because I don't want to say it wrong. Nuck and Futz on Taylor Mower. Wyatt, you've probably been there.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'd say we've probably been in every establishment up there.
Been there together. Yeah, we were probably there together.
Well, hey, guys, I really appreciate your time and your willingness to share the game. It was awesome.
Thanks, Wyatt, for having me on, buddy. Yeah.
See you guys. For Coach Stam and Coach True, this has been Wyatt Faust, and thanks again for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. Join us again next Thursday as we bring in Hall of Fame guests to share a lot about a lot of stuff. Until then, keep getting better.